This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Nick Wakeman. Nick is the editor-in-chief of Washington Technology, and you can find them at WashingtonTechnology.com. Nick, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Mark. Glad to be here.
Always a pleasure.
Oh, yeah. It's always fun.
Let's just hit some top news. I mean, okay. We're going to get into top 100 stuff because your issue's coming up soon. But what's hot lately in the contractor community?
Oh, gosh. It's a lot of things. I think, the GSA has been in the news a lot, obviously. They have a big new contract that they're starting to formulate called OASIS.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting to watch. It's not for IT, it's for professional services, but I think pretty much all the IT players will be going after because professional services and IT are very blended together there. So that's big news. You know, we're seeing earnings reports coming out, and a lot of the big players are have kind of flat to no growth, and some people, growth is falling off. And as I'm working on the top 100 data, I'm really seeing that trend across the board. I mean, the numbers, I noticed it a little bit last year, and it's even more pronounced this year. There's definitely a flattening in the revenue numbers for everybody in the top 100.
Okay. Now, we obviously know why.
Yeah.
A lot less spending going on right now. Let's go back to OASIS for a second.
Okay.
If this is a professional services contract, is it going to compete with MOBIS?
Well, that's a very good question. I'll have to make a note on that and follow that up. They claim that there's no other vehicle like this out there. But when you mention MOBIS, I mean, that's kind of what that is. So, it's going to be another huge IDIQ task order contract. I thought it was very interesting when GSA was describing it, that and the number of awardees, they said, well, it's not going to be in the hundreds. So it tells me that it's going to be a lot of companies on it. I mean, it may not be like
8A stars.
Stars, but it might be close. And it's going to be more like a schedule than a contract, though. They're very strong in saying it's not a schedule contract, but they'll have on ramps and off ramps, and but we're going to look at another $12 billion ceiling with probably 100 companies on it. They're not sure if they're going to split it like they did Alliant with a small business piece and a separate small business contract and a large and open contract, or they'll all be all together. They haven't decided that yet.
Well, that'll be interesting all by itself, because the Alliant small biz contract at least provides a vehicle for small businesses to have a piece of that action on their own. If they're going to be competing against the bigger guys, and we're already talking about lower earnings, how hard are, it was Northrop and CSC that reported flat or low, right? Or at least two of them.
Right. Northrop did, Unisys did. CSC has a new CEO, and he's pretty frank about the issues they're facing. I mean, he describes them as in a turnaround mode. So that's definitely going to be a company interesting to watch. His criticism of the company, I think he's been there, I think he came in late February, mid-March, excuse me. And he says that, the company bid too low, the company's needs to get leaner, there's too much, bureaucracy there. They have too many unprofitable contracts, so there's going to be a lot of activity going on there. And he was pretty frank. He said there's going to be, leadership changes across the company. So,
and Lockheed has a...
Lockheed, yes, they're their CEO, Bob Stevens, announced that at the end of the year he's going to be stepping down as CEO. He'll remain chairman for another year. And they have a new, oh, I'm drawing a blank on his on the name. We'll have to look it up. But their current president and chief operating officer is going to step into that role as CEO. And that's sort of, it was not a surprise because a few months ago, I think it was back in October, they created this office of the executive chairman, and he was, that had two people in it, Bob Stevens and the COO. So everyone saw that as a pretty strong indicator that this was their succession plan. So Kuziak, I think is how his name is pronounced, but that's going to be a big change there. I mean, Lockheed, you know, they're still a pretty healthy company, a lot of sitting on a lot of cash. So I think that he, you know, he'll have his hands full, obviously, as the market shifts and with the F-35 and all those issues there.
Chris Kubicek.
Kubicek, yes, Chris Kubicek. And Marilyn Hewson is taking his place.
Yeah, we apologize to Mr. Kubicek for not having that name.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Happens. But, you know, I mean, let's stay with, you know, Lockheed has a new head, CSC.
Has a new head. SAIC has a new head. I mean, it's going to, you know, we're seeing a real, you know, I don't know necessarily if it's a generational change. I don't think it's that strong, but you do, these big players, you see see people, you know, see some turnover at the top. And one theory I've heard I think is really interesting is you have, you know, some of these CEOs that are looking at, you know, a five-year turnaround in the industry market as a whole. And I think some of these guys are, you know, Bob Stevens is 60. That's still, you know, young. But I think he was like, you know, he's been CEO since 2004. And I think he's like, they need new energy. I think that's sort of what's motivating him.
Okay.
And some of these others.
Is he
going to
stay on the board?
You know, he's going to stay as chairman. I'm not sure if he'll stay on, you know, beyond that 2014. I'm not sure.
Okay. I mean, you know, a lot of institutional knowledge there.
Yes.
And, you know, 9 years, 8 years running the company.
Right.
Is, you know, it's not.
He's been with Lockheed and a predecessor company, I think 25, 28 years.
So. Yeah. I mean, Lockheed was has made a few purchases.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've moved some of those executives up in that organization.
Yeah, he came in through the Loral acquisition.
Okay.
As Stevens did. So.
I remember Loral.
Yeah.
I may have been consulting him when he was president, but I certainly didn't report to him.
But I think with the new leadership on some of these major companies, because all these companies are facing some, you know, serious challenges just with the market the way it is, and especially the big defense players with the shifts in priorities and the drawdown in Afghanistan. And
well, that and the government starting to look at capping, you know, what company executives should make, and
I think it's just really silly.
Yes.
I mean, I could see capping. Okay, we're not going to spend more than X for a PC. We want all our PCs to be $100. Okay.
Yeah.
But if you can make it for $100 and you make $90 a profit, what's wrong with that? That's the American way.
Right. Right. So, I mean, you know, don't get involved in this people on the Hill, please.
Yeah.
It's not where you need to spend your energies. All right. The M&A for the top 100 is still there. Last year, as you reported, it took a slight dip from 99 down to 82. But we were talking offline, you know, some of the mergers may be off the radar for companies that aren't publicly traded.
Right. There's a lot of activity in with the private companies. Probably more deals are done by private companies than the public companies. I mean, the bigger deals tend to be with the public companies because they have you know, more cap, you know, with stock and cash and things like that, they have more flexibility, I think, in how they finance the deals.
Right.
But private equity is very active in the market. You know, with the big one last year was Providence acquiring SRA. And here was a large company that was public that they acquired and took private. And that's going to continue. I mean, you're seeing a lot of private equity.
Well, we also see some of the action from the top 10 General Dynamics buying.
Right, bought Vanjant. That was a very large deal in the health area. That's one thing with the big defense companies that it's going to be interesting to watch, because all of them are sitting have a lot of cash. I mean, General Dynamics made that big deal. I think it was $960 million. But the others haven't, you know, have been active, but haven't made like big blockbusters. And, you know, and maybe they won't. Maybe, you know, they'll continue to make these niche plays, but they're definitely going to be very active, because they have to look to replace revenue, for one thing, and also to shift their capabilities into the higher growth markets like healthcare and cyber and intelligence and those areas.
And we'll pick that up on the other side of the break. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Back in a few.
Here's Margie Graves, Deputy CIO DHS, on the Federal Executive Forum on Virtualization, sponsored by Informatica.
We have to solve the security issue, but once we get there, we're going to see a lot more teaming between hardware, software, and service provider vendors, so that there are unified solutions brought to the federal government for our use in procurement.
Listen to the whole program made possible by Trezor Media Group. Log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Government IT leaders have one thing in common. All are challenged to do more with less while meeting the aggressive federal data center consolidation initiative mandates. Agencies can realize their data center consolidation goals by looking beyond the traditional bricks and mortar of consolidation to reduce infrastructure and utility costs. Informatica customers know that the true long-term savings come through a comprehensive application retirement, data archiving, and virtualization strategy. Visit Informatica.com today to see how they can help your organization.
Rock that fanny pack, wearing those khakis last.
Kevin,
yeah?
What are you doing?
Just singing this sweet tune I heard on the radio this morning.
We need to get you HD radio, man. Those are not the lyrics. If you were listening to that song in my Kia Optima with the UVO infotainment system and HD radio, you'd hear all the lyrics with crystal clear digital sound quality. Plus the artist and song title even display on my UVO screen.
Then let's go for a ride and hope the fanny pack song comes on.
Voice-activated UVO infotainment system with HD radio. Now available in the Kia Optima.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov. Brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth here on 1500 AM every Saturday at 10 AM. Please join me this week for my special guest, George Cranwell, president of GE Cranwell & Associates, and my partner, John Dedon, to talk about the Arlington real estate market. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon Family Groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON.
Creating the United States, a Library of Congress exhibition about the nation's founding documents, will close on Saturday, May 5th. This must-see exhibition centers on the creation of the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. The exhibition is free and open to the public, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Saturday in the library's Thomas Jefferson Building at 10 First Street Southeast, Washington, D.C. Don't miss it. For more information, visit loc.gov.
Registration is now open for the all-new Management of Change event, featuring interactive sessions around cloud, mobility, and security, and a future technology expo, June 3rd through 5th at the Hyatt Regency, Cambridge, Maryland. This government industry training forum is hosted by the American Council for Technology and Industry Advisory Council. Register and learn more at actgov.org/managementofchange. That's actgov www.dpa.org/managementofchange.
The Department of Defense faces some big changes in the coming years. I'm Federal News Radio's DoD reporter, Jared Serbu. We help you track those changes every Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 3 with On DoD. Each week, we'll talk one-on-one with defense experts and senior managers about the policies, programs, and innovations that affect warfighters and how the military will continue to meet its mission. That's On DoD, Wednesday afternoons at 2, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Nick Wakeman. Nick's the editor-in-chief of Washington Technology. Nick, Richard Walker's story from early April, four strategies focused on health IT. This is the one where it talks a fair amount about the Vanjant purchase.
Right.
And we have four areas that are still relatively hot, some hotter than others. They were very hot a year or two ago: infrastructure, cyber, health IT, and pretty much anything green. Number one, which of these is hottest for the near term and the little bit longer than near term as far as actual money being spent?
I think that, green is not quite as hot. I think that's definitely slowed down. Maybe the plays have already happened there and people are focused on it internally. Developing that, but cyber and health are going to probably be the big drivers. I mean, everything cyber and health. I'll be really interested, when the Supreme Court, with their decision, how that impacts it, whether we'll see sort of the bottom fall out. I mean, I know that some people, if they uphold everything, I mean, there's a huge market there. There's going to be a lot of money that's going to need to be spent over the next, 3 to 5 years. So. If it gets all, the other extreme, if it gets all knocked down, well, then there's some people saying, well, that market will disappear. But, health over long term is just too important of a need out there, and a growing need as the population ages, and there's, more demands for government services, whether it's, mandated by, a healthcare law or not. So I think health IT is going to be a good long term play. And cyber touches everything. Infrastructure. I think a lot of that is shifting to the cloud, or we'll see, infrastructure as a service emerge. So I'm not sure how much that will drive mergers and acquisitions. I think it'll drive sort of business strategies. And I think, if cloud really gets more momentum, you're going to see a lot of companies having to adjust. There's not going to be that need to put all those bodies in there, or the hourly kind of model, mm-hmm. to support infrastructure if they start shifting, that to the agencies, shift that to the cloud. So that one is definitely worth watching.
Yeah, I saw a non-federal IT pub, I think it was Network World, but I'm not positive, an article that came out just the other day talking about how the government was really so slow to adopt cloud.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking, how much does this author know about government time and adoption? just because Mr. Kundra said a few years ago, we need to migrate to cloud, instant doesn't happen here, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but the cloud is really, it is going to change. It's going to take a while. I mean, mm-hmm. 5 years from now, we'll be having a different conversation. But I was talking with an executive with a reseller who said that they sort of see themselves, instead of remaining like as a selling product, that they'll be sort of almost shifting into content management. Mm-hmm. That's sort of will be their play, because the whole app world that the cloud enables,
right.
That's how a lot of agencies are going to be getting what they need, instead of these wanting to buy all these licenses. They'll download apps.
Right.
And then it's more, they want access to their information, not necessarily buying software, if that makes sense.
It does, but it's definitely going to confuse the market and certainly create some room for new players.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's definitely going to maybe cause the biggest shuffle on the top 100.
Yeah.
In our recent memory, anyway. Right. Does that leave room for companies like Amazon has an extremely robust cloud offering? Are they going to migrate up this year, do you think? Or shouldn't I ask that yet?
that's interesting.
Teresa went over, Max Peterson joined her.
Yeah.
They built a solid team there.
And one of the problems with the top 100, frankly, is that it's solely the prime contracting revenue. I'm not sure.
Right.
You know, they have a lot of partners. I know they're selling, you know, services directly as well, but
I think partnering is their initial MO.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's intriguing that they brought Max over because Dell had a channel strategy early on as well before Max's tenure there.
Yeah.
But they're not a channel player anymore.
Yeah, it's there. You know, we mentioned early in the first segment about the leadership changes, but Dell, you know, on their federal services business, George Newstrom, former EDS exec and Secretary of Technology for Virginia, he's back in running their federal services business. So that was a big change. But you were talking about the merger and acquisition activity. I think that cyber and health and Intel are probably the biggest drivers for companies that are looking to move into the growth markets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's sort of the primary reason. Other companies, of course, are making deals to, replace revenue and to.
The GD move with Vangent was clearly to become a dominant player,
right,
in health IT.
Yeah, and I think they make a good argument that if you take out that big Medicare Medicaid processing business, which is a huge business that HP and I don't know if they're calling themselves Xerox, but ACS, affiliated computer services, they're really big in that. They kind of dominate that market. If you take that out, GD is probably the biggest health IT provider in the federal space because GD already had a pretty substantial military health business, and then Vangent brought in a big, on the civilian side. So it was a good move for them.
Very, very good match and bolstered that. And, we were talking offline about the emergence of, branding the companies. And that's always been kind of tenuous here because it is a relationship-driven market. Having a good relationship between an agency and a company always helps. But it's not driven, by consumer branding things.
No, it's really... I think there's two sides to it. One is, especially in this tight market, the need to really differentiate yourself from your competitors. So that's a big driver. And then the other part is almost more internal, so that your employees and your partners sort of know who you are and what they do, how that fits in with the overall mission, and to kind of focus in on that and I guess they see real payoff. The people, employee loyalty, lower, turnover. Those are all the kind of the goals of that side of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're downsizing, so there's a certain amount of employee loyalty that kind of goes out
that's
the
true.
Window. But that happens. This is not the best economy, boys and girls.
Right.
And it's gonna. But on the differentiation side, it's a message that I write about it in your publication. With some regularity for small companies, it's critical. And when Ed Swallow was here from Northrop Grumman a couple weeks ago with Dan Mintz, we were talking about how primes. Ed's a VP for business development on the civilian side. We were talking about how small companies get on his radar, and number one thing is what's your area of specialization?
Right.
You've got to have something that attracts me for a specific contract or a void in our, you know, a chink in our armor.
Right. You got. You have to be able to very quickly state what value you're going to bring to being on Northrop's team or anybody's team. That's again, that value can be your technology, it can be your customer relationship, you know, domain expertise. But you have to, and it's got to be clear. It can't be like, oh, well, you know, we do, you know, this for everybody. And it's like, no, you have to know who you are.
Well, his my favorite example he said when he had a company that said, well, we have, you know, eight people with CISSPs. And he said, that's great. We have 1,800. And he was rounding to the nearest 100.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Back after these messages.
If you are facing advanced illness or the end of life of a loved one, peace of mind is in short supply. Fortunately, pain-free comfort care is available from the Washington Home and Community Hospices, a not-for-profit organization with a holistic team of doctors, nurses, caregivers, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers. The team comes to you in your home or wherever you call home in D.C., Montgomery, or Prince George's County. For your peace of mind, call them day or night for a complimentary consultation at 866-234-7222.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today, or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
At Kaiser Permanente, we carefully select our doctors so you can carefully select your doctors. Our hiring process is so selective, only 1 in 10 doctors who apply make the cut. Yes, we're uber picky. Probably have a little perfectionism complex in there, but by putting our doctors under the microscope, we've discovered some of the greatest medical minds in their fields, and that's led to an even greater medical breakthrough. Drumroll, please. Award-winning care. We've received many of the highest possible rankings in member satisfaction, patient safety, overall quality of care, and more. But we're not the only ones reaping the rewards. Because we carefully select our doctors, you have great doctors to choose from. And with all those great doctors, you think it'd be easy. But try choosing just one for your primary care doctor. We'll let you create your own highly selective process for that. We're Kaiser Permanente, and we're here to help you thrive. Visit us at kp.org.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Listen next week for a special edition of the Business of Government Hours Conversation with Authors series, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness. How do you evaluate the effectiveness of citizen participation programs? Is the Open Government Initiative making a difference? Join host Michael Keegan as he pulls back the veil on how to best evaluate citizen participation. He talks with Dr. Tina Nabaci, author of the recent IBM Center report, A Manager's Guide to Evaluating Citizen Participation, next week on the Business of Government Hours.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's
going on? June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, every Friday morning at 11. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week on Fed Talk, host Deborah Roth will be joined by Craig Floyd from the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund and David Wise from Motorola to discuss this year's National Police Week.
Fly a kite and you get a good feel for how much force can be created by a lightweight aircraft. That's the idea behind a new system for getting power from wind. Winds are generally stronger and more consistent further from the ground, so Makani Power is launching propeller-controlled aircraft to tap that energy. Mechanical engineer Corwin Hardam is their CEO.
This
thing that is different with our aircraft is ours is tied to the ground with a flexible tether, and that energy gets piped down the tether to the ground.
And one day, to the grid. It's a computer-guided kite engineered to fly itself in a nearly circular path.
Because that's one of the most effective paths for generating energy.
Hardam says the system is about 90% lighter than conventional wind turbines and can be more easily installed in a wider range of locations.
We expect to be cost-competitive with the cheapest of the fossil fuel energy sources.
For more, go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Mike Causey on Federal News Radio.
I would rather give an ostrich a pedicure than play this.
Your turn with Mike Causey, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. only on Federal News Radio. Check out Mike's column, The Federal Report, weekdays at federalnewsradio.com, or sign up to have Mike's daily column delivered directly to your email.
You know, they're probably going to find out in 20 years that carrying one of these in your wallet causes your buttocks to fall off.
Mike Causey on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Nick Wakeman. Nick is the editor-in-chief of Washington Technology. You can find him at washingtontechnology.com, all one word. Nick, I like to peruse your blog, and as you know, every now and again, I actually leave comments on your blog. So let's migrate to that for a moment.
Okay, well, the comments are always appreciated, Mark.
Well, I'm glad. Actually, I commented on one of, it was either a WashTech story or an FCW story. Matthew Weigelt picked it up and put it in his next story. It was
right.
On the Oracle thing.
That's right.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Gee, I hate publicity. I think that's the first time that one of my blog quotes made it into an actual story.
Yeah, you might be right. We've done things in the past where if we have a story that gets a lot of, or a blog that gets a lot of comments, that we'll take those comments and just build something around them. Mm-hmm. But
you and Matthew know that I don't mind, so
right,
go for
right.
It.
Yeah. So that was the first time I think that we just sort of put it in there as a quote in another kind of story. But the comments. I think that it's the more comments we get, the happier we are. So
We'll get to your blog in a minute, but this is something that I deal with regularly from clients, and you know that I'm writing something about this soon,
right?
And it may end up in WashTech. How do people get on your radar? Everybody wants to be in the press, and obviously commenting on a blog can if it's an intelligent comment can get you on the radar.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
If it's a stupid comment, it can get you on the radar too, but not in the way you want.
Yeah, I wish more people would, because in the form you fill out when you comment, there's a field for your name and email address, but it's voluntary. You can optional. You can
right.
Not do that. And I wish more people would, because we get all kinds of great comments, and it's like, I'd really like to follow up with this person. And I've tried a couple times to like comment back and say, hey, thanks for the insight, give me more,
dead ends
and dead ends. I do that on Twitter when people like retweet our stories, and I've gotten little conversations with that, commenting back to people saying, hey, thanks for the comment. What other kind of story would you like to read? And I've been more successful with that than starting a conversation with our comments. But our comments are, very important to us. I mean, because they do, spark other stories, follow ups. It just
we can't think of everything,
right? Right.
And those certainly help.
And I appreciate the ones that like a story just the other day where I, it was a typo, but we published it and I. It was a story I had written on the RFP for NGEN is coming out, the Navy contract, and I said that NMCI had 70,000 users, and the comment came in anonymously saying, "Oh, I think there's a few more users," and sure enough, I dropped a zero. So,
yeah, that is cool stuff, and people don't do it. I mean,
right.
I don't leave my email address, but I just signed Amtower.
Right, and we know everyone knows who Amtower is.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But getting, I think commenting on, on stories is probably the easiest thing you can do because, mm-hmm. you know, we're motivated to post those. I mean, the ones we don't post are just
wacky.
The wacky ones, you know, we get spam comments and things like that. But most of them, you know, the vast majority get posted. You know, and if you have your name, your company name in there, and I think that's a good way to, you know, it helps us, you know, gets our attention. Mm-hmm. But it also just gets your name out there in a public forum.
Yeah, and if for some reason you don't want your company name, use your personal email.
Yeah,
but let the reporter get back in touch with you. But I mean that's key, because you know, again, I get a lot of inquiries about, you know, how do we get on, you know, how do we get into pubs? Period. We're starting our government market master program in June. It'll be the third week of June. We'll start rolling out our continuing professional educations. One of those sessions is going to be 4 hours, and I hope to drag you out to Laurel.
All the way to Laurel.
For me, it beats the hell out of going to Mason. I'm sorry. But I love Mason, though. Don't get me wrong. It's just a long drive from where I live.
But
people need to understand that all news outlets need legitimate news sources and intelligent people to comment on the news.
Yeah.
But you can't come across like a loose cannon. You can't come across with perpetual Me Toos. So if, you know, N. Wakeman at 1105 GovInfo.
Or N. Wakeman at WashingtonTechnology.com now.
Yep.
We have
yep.
our own.
Both, yeah.
Our own little branding going on.
There you go. Well, you know, WashTech deals with the contractor community. It's the only publication out there that does that. And you know, I've been a fan for so long. I bugged you a couple of years ago, and you let me write.
But I think people should think about it. I see there's a parallel with you know we're trying to be as involved, you know, as much as possible with, you know, social media and social networking, you know, with Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, and
wrong order. LinkedIn
Twitter, for yeah actually you're right. We do get more traffic from LinkedIn than any of the others, and
I post,
unfortunately,
not
right now,
only my stories, but several others on a regular basis.
Yeah, we're probably least active there, but
bring me over. I'll show you how to do it.
The key, though, is to just sort of be consistent. I mean, if you're interested in cyber, start commenting on our cybersecurity stories. Start, you know, send an email to the reporter, but don't manage your expectations. Don't think, well, I sent him an email and I never heard from him. Well, it might take 10 emails. But 10 emails over the course of 3 months, you know, and then someone's like, you know, we're going to do a story on
this. How many emails do you get every day?
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We've actually stopped using email internally. We set up a yammer.com, which is a sort of very similar to framework to Facebook. And that's how we let people know who, you know, like I posted this morning, I'm going to do Mark Amptower's radio show. I'll be back in the office, you know, by noon, you know, and then I have it on my phone. When I'm out, I can check and just see what stories are coming in, who's doing what, who's off. Because before we were doing that with email, it would get lost.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know what was going on.
Spam filter.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they would be in there, but it's just so much in the inbox.
Right. So email may not be the best way. Commenting on, you know, commenting on the blog and email may boost it.
Right.
But, you know, here's another thing. You know, if you like a story on WashTech, post it in pertinent groups at LinkedIn.
That's true.
Then tell the editor or reporter that you did it.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I post this on LinkedIn. If you get more traffic, you can buy me a coffee sometime.
Yeah. That's actually a great piece of advice, because, well, I mean, we're all human. I love having our ego stroked. If someone says, "Oh yeah, I loved your story. I posted it in our, you know, our LinkedIn group," or, you know, that makes people's day.
Let's go back to the differentiation thing for a second. If you want to differentiate yourself in this market, one of the ways to do it is to stay on top of the news in that
niche
and share it in the venues where,
and then people think that you're the expert, or and.
Even if you're not, you're sharing this stuff, and you're higher on the radar. You know, if it's a cyber story, there's a half a dozen groups that I belong to in LinkedIn that it's got to go in.
Right.
you know, I for the first time ever, I used my phone to tweet yesterday because I was at a cyber event at UMBC. Mm-hmm. Hart Rossman of SAIC was a speaker, and this guy is the cyber geek, uber, you know, but funny and pertinent. So I tweeted not once, but twice during his presentation.
That's great.
Well, yeah, me and that little damn phone.
God, I finally, you know, I guess maybe it's my age, but I finally figured out how to use when you're out covering an event as a reporter. Uh-huh. You know, we're trying to tweet. So, you know, you tweet. But these hashtags are great because I've used it when I get back to the office to supplement my notes. I pull up Twitter, do a search on that hashtag, and I've got, you know, especially a bigger event, you have multiple mm-hmm. people commenting on things. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. He did say that. It wasn't in my notes, but I can pull it from Twitter.
There you go. So. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Back after these messages.
Tuberous sclerosis complex is a genetic disease that can cause brain tumors, epilepsy, autism, kidney failure, even death. I'm Julianne Moore, National Spokesperson for Step Forward to Cure TSC, a series of community walks to benefit the Tuberous Sclerosis Alliance. People from all walks of life are stepping forward to cure TSC. So, dust off your sneakers and see when there's a walk near you at stepforwardtocuretsc.org.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Pissarro as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Visit myvillagegreen.com, listen to past shows, and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Zymogen and Metagenics.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Here's Margie Graves, Deputy CIO DHS, on the Federal Executive Forum on Virtualization, sponsored by Red Hat.
We have to solve the security issue, but once we get there, we're going to see a lot more teaming between hardware, software, and service provider vendors so that there are unified solutions brought to the federal government for our use in procurement.
Listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group. Log on to federalnewsradio.com.
There are a lot of virtualization solutions out there from proprietary companies, but they are expensive and lock you into long-term relationships with vendors that you might not want. But Red Hat Enterprise Virtualization is a highly secure open-source platform for mission-critical workloads. Red Hat technology is based on open standards, so your IT future still belongs to you. And if you're ready to start cloud computing, this is the way to do it. 90% of public clouds already run on open source. This is Paul Smith from Red Hat, and if you want to learn more from the open source leader, check us out at redhat.com/virtualized.
I have this dream where I'm wading through a crowd. Now and then, someone stops and offers me a new job, and it seems like the opportunities are endless. Soon I'm doing the work I've always wanted to do, designing smarter energy systems that transform communities, save millions of dollars, and wait, that's no dream. That actually happened. After I got my master's degree in electrical engineering from Capital College.
Capital's master's program in electrical engineering prepares you for some of today's most in-demand jobs. It's conducted online with live streaming audio, so you get the interactivity of a classroom without having to fight traffic to get there. And Capital is one of only 8 colleges and universities nationwide endorsed by IEEE as a provider of a quality engineering education.
I'm living out my dream because of Capital College. It isn't for everyone, but it's perfect for me.
For a virtual info session,
session on graduate programs at Capital College, visit capital-college.edu/radio. That's capital with an O, -college.edu/radio.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500. AM.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the only radio station dedicated to news for and about the federal government and government contractors. Find us at federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest today is Nick Wakeman. Nick is the editor of Washington Technology. We were just talking about, you know, how people get on your radar and stuff, so I do want to talk where we almost started last segment, talking about your blog. Do you read a lot of blogs? Other people's blogs?
Some, not as much as I should, you know. But I read your blog and I read.
You can read mine because I don't post that much. But there's some out there that I've heard of that I have not been to, so yeah. I have been remiss as well, but. When I find good ones, they're fun to read, and I do like reading yours. Not the least of which reason is you don't post every day.
Yeah, ideally I'd like to post once a week, but I kind of slip sometimes. I usually with my blog, you know, sometimes I do write about personal stuff, but that's a rarity. Usually, you know, there's something that's happened in the marketplace that I find, of interest, and mm-hmm. and sometimes too, like I did a blog about Microsoft when Steve Ballmer was in town, and it was easier to kind of quickly get something up via a blog, and he didn't really, you know, while I'm glad I went and it was interesting to listen to, he didn't really like break news
right
at that event, and I didn't really expect him to, because it was the NVTC event, and so I kind of came back and just sort of did a little riff on it as far as, you know, where they're headed and what he was talking about. It was very much a sales pitch that he was giving that day.
Well, he's a sales pitch kind of guy.
Yeah, he is.
But
he is.
You know, the blog head was, can Ballmer and Microsoft catch Apple and Android?
Right.
Was he implying that he was migrating in that direction?
Yeah, with Windows, the next iteration of Windows, which I guess is Windows 8, it's very much, you know, kind of a cloud app infrastructure where all your devices will be connected. And that was one thing I was a little disappointed, though. He had one of his senior product people come up there. And this is an audience of business people. And he was doing a little demo. It was very interesting, showing how the, you know, it would look on this device and things can move back and forth. But it was a little gimmicky, the demo. Because what he did is he took a picture of the audience with his phone and then, you know, moved to his notebook, and it was on his notebook. And I'm like, well, that's cute, but...
So what?
Yeah, it just...
Where's the wow factor?
Yeah, and where... Because I think where their play is going to be is kind of connecting productivity with consumption. And, you know, smartphones and tablets are very much about consuming information. They're not that great at producing information, and I think that if they can bridge that gap, that's really going to be a strong play for Microsoft, and will solidify their position for years to come. But if it flops, I mean, they're going to, you know, they'll be in trouble.
Yeah, and you know, they're already lagging there, and it's not like
right.
That concept hasn't occurred to a few other folks.
Right, and he to his credit, he did kind of indicate that they're kind of playing catch up. And that's sort of in Microsoft's history, because I remember 20 years ago, or maybe not that long ago, that Bill Gates was very dismissive of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And Google comes along.
Right. Right. Yeah, see. Bing is still, Microsoft's still trying to get Bing to take off, but.
It's a good search engine, but my default has been Google since day one. And even though they pissed me off when they got rid of Google Uncle Sam, there's other ways to get around that, and I use them.
Yeah.
Before you did the bomber thing, and it was only like a week before, you did a riff off of a question that you got.
Yeah, I was moderating a panel, and someone in the audience sort of said, "Well, Nick, I have a question for you, and you know, you follow a lot of M&As, and you know, who's going to be making deals?" And I kind of said, "Oh, you know, some of the things I've mentioned earlier, the big defense players have cash, and these people do this, and these are the big niches." And, went off of that on that way. And then after, though, he came up to me. He goes, "Well," he says, "the answer I was really looking for was," he goes, "I think there's two kinds of buyers. There's strategic buyers and desperate buyers." He goes, that's what you need to watch for. And that's, I kind of blogged off of that question, because I think it's a great question. I think he really hit the nail on the head. The challenge for me is kind of figuring out when that deal gets made, if you know,
Which is which,
and because they all look like good deals for the most part when they're made. It's 6 months, a year down. Are they winning contracts? have people left? You know what's
is the intellectual capital still
right
there? Has rubber met road? And was there a cultural fit between the two? Which is
right,
always huge. But I'm with you, and we discussed this in between takes. There's often not a lot of difference between the strategic buy and the desperate buy, because if you know that money is going to be spent in cyber or health IT, and that's a void for you, and you know that's the biggest thing coming down the pike, you can't not be in that game.
Oh, yeah, and the same thing holds with, I'm just going to make up an example. Let's say, your biggest customer is the Army, and you don't get on the next ITAS contract.
Yeah.
Well, then, boom. You're in deep.
You're in deep kimchi.
Yeah. And what we've seen in the past is companies have bought other companies just to get that contract because they wanted to protect their place with that customer. And so I think we'll see a lot more of that because, the number, these IDIQ, specifically agency-specific IDIQs, are just going to continue to grow, and more and more business is going to go through those. So if you don't get on your customer's contract,
mm-hmm,
and you're going to be a sub, or you have to buy your way on.
There you go. Nick, it's always a pleasure having you, man.
Oh, thank you.
Nick Wakeman, Editor-in-Chief, Washington Technology. Find him at washingtontechnology.com. Comment on his blogs. You can comment on the stories at any of the 1105 pubs, but I do that again. And it got me into an article.
Right.
Hey, worst things can happen. I'm not quite sure what I said, but apparently Matthew liked it. Thanks, Nick. This is not my day job. If your company needs to leverage tools like LinkedIn, give me a call. And remember, our Government Market Master programs at Capital College start in June. Find the information in my group, Government Market Master, on LinkedIn. And thank you for listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Amtower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.